With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. More than 30 years after Act 31 was established in Wisconsin, there are still school districts not in compliance. The law requires districts to teach students about the history, culture, and sovereignty of the state's 11 tribal nations. WXPR's Katie Thorson attended the Wisconsin Indian Education Association conference in Lac des Flambeaux to learn how the group is working to change that.
We've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go.
Kate Erickson is a member of the United Nations history faculty at the Milwaukee Area Technical College and president of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. She believes all students, not just Indigenous ones, benefit when they're taught accurately about Wisconsin's tribal history.
Indigenous history is Wisconsin history. You know, our cultures and our languages are part of the fabric of the land of the state, you know, and those echoes are still being heard today. And they're such beautiful things, and we want to share them, and we want to see those things in the schools, and we want to see those things being celebrated and accepted throughout the state.
Governor Tony Evers spoke at the Wisconsin Indian Education Association annual conference in Lac des Flambeaux Thursday. He says properly funding schools would enable districts to be in compliance with Act 31.
Every time we talk about money for schools, we tend to forget there's these other programs that are competing internally. And to me, I don't think there's any bad intent out there. I just think it's the resources that people need to have. And I don't think it's a lot of money.
Erickson says her organization is always happy to help connect districts with resources.
We are open to questions and comments and collaboration. If you're a school district who, you know, has questions about, well, what can we do for our students, come to us. If we can't address those things or tackle those things for you, we definitely have partners throughout the state that we can, you know, send you to who are able to help.
This year's conference was focused on fostering teamwork and collaboration. It was open to both Native and non-Native educators, community members, businesses, and organizations. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson in Lac des Flambeaux.
Saturday is Drug Tank Back Day. Last October, the United States Drug Enforcement Administration removed nearly 600,000 pounds of unneeded medication from collection sites across the nation. More than 53,000 pounds of that came from Wisconsin. There are several drop-off sites that will be collecting medication tomorrow. Aspyrus Pharmacy resident Amanda Zennel said it's a good opportunity to get rid of old, unused, or unwanted medications safely and conveniently.
Participating in Drug Take-Back Day is very important for our environment and to decrease misuse by making sure that we aren't putting products into the environment that can hurt animals or expose other people to harmful substances, as well as help us not increase the abuse of medication.
Most prescription and over-the-counter medications can be disposed of. You can also get rid of pet medication that way. Drop-off sites will not accept illegal drugs, needles or sharps, aerosol cans, or biohazardous materials. You can find a list of drop-off locations on the Dose of Reality page on the Wisconsin DHS website. You can also find a list of permanent drop boxes. Air travelers could face fewer obstacles in securing a refund if their flight is canceled or changed under new federal rules announced Wednesday. The move is being praised by watchdog groups. Mike Moen reports.
The Department of Transportation says airlines are now required to promptly provide passengers with automatic cash refunds when they're owed one. Teresa Murray of the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, or PIRG, says some carriers haven't adhered to these standards, leaving passengers in a bind.
And they would drag their feet and they would say, oh, well, you bought your ticket from a ticket agent, and so we don't know where your money is. Or here, have a voucher. And that was not acceptable.
But amid higher complaint volumes, companies will be forced to act quickly. The new rules, which are being phased in, provide clear definitions for travel disruptions. That includes delays of at least 3 hours on a domestic flight and 6 hours for international flights. A key industry group responded to the announcement by touting transparency efforts among carriers. Murray says most people aren't frequent flyers, and it's hard for them to keep up on all the latest practices and policies among airlines.
The average person only flies once every 18 months. So this will just bring transparency to that process, and it kind of evens the playing field.
Murray says this could come in handy for Midwestern customers when a winter storm wreaks havoc on air travel. The new rules also require refunds for baggage fees when a piece of luggage is delayed by 12 hours or more for domestic flights. And there has to be upfront disclosure on fees for first and second checked bags and carry-on bags. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
People in Wisconsin are watching this weekend's NFL draft a bit differently, knowing that the league's biggest off-season party is coming to Green Bay in 2025. That includes Wausau Events Executive Director Allie Adderholt, who is working at this year's event.
I'll be working over in the by the NFL partner hospitality part, over by the draft theater, and then inside of the draft theater.
Adderholt says, as you would expect, every team is represented in a big way.
There's lots of blue, for sure. Lots of Travis Kelce jerseys, of course. Seeing some Vikings, or Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders walking around with some fans.
The Packers were awarded the 25 event last May, and a full contingency from the city is in Detroit this weekend to get an up-close look at the event before hosting it themselves. Early estimates show next year's draft could be worth more than $500,000 in economic impact to Wausau and central Wisconsin. An Arizona grand jury's indictment of 18 people who either posed as or helped organize a slate of electors falsely claiming that former President Donald Trump won the state in 2020 could help shape the landscape of challenges to the 2024 election. The indictment issued Wednesday as part of a campaign to deter a repeat of 2020, when Trump and his allies falsely claimed he won swing states, filed dozens of lawsuits unsuccessfully challenging President Biden's victory, and tried to get Congress to let Trump stay in power. Phony Trump electors in Wisconsin had to agree that Biden won the state and promised not to serve as electors in 2024 as a condition of settling a civil lawsuit brought by two Democrats. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.